Good morning. Can you hear me? All right. Someone said they couldn't hear me last time, so I'll try to speak louder. Before we get started, though, if anyone has lost a wallet, please go see Pastor Terry after the service, okay? I don't know. If you lost a wallet, please go see Pastor Terry after service. Don't all go rush him right now. Okay? After service. Okay? Well, happy Father's Day to all you fathers. And at the same time, you know, as we are so thankful for all of you for what you do, we also want to understand that sometimes these holidays that we have, or especially like Father's Day, it's not a happy time for people. And so, for those of you who may be in our midst, that today might bring up some hardship or some painful memories, I want to point you to our Heavenly Father who is perfect, who loves you perfectly, and who will never leave you, who will never take His love away from you, who died for you. And I want to invite you all to pray with me right now. Dear Heavenly Father God, we praise You for who You are. You are our perfect Heavenly Father. You love us perfectly. You provide for us perfectly. God, You are perfect. And God, we thank You. Thank You for pouring out Your grace, Your mercy, Your forgiveness, Your provision upon us. Thank You for allowing us to be here to worship You, God, together as a church family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, Your children. And God, I ask that You would open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears, help us to hear You, help us to see You. God, help us to grow in wisdom. Help us to grow in faith. Help us to grow in obedience to Your Word. God, help us to understand what You're trying to teach us this morning through Your Word. And God, I pray that You would humble us. God, that You would reveal to us our sin for how we fall short. God, and that we wouldn't feel defeated, but God, that we would remember that Your mercies are new every morning, that You offer Your forgiveness to us, and You sent Your Son Jesus to die for us, so that we could be forgiven, so that we can have eternal life, so that we can be with You for the rest of forever. So God, we thank You. Thank You for this time. Thank You for each person here. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's great being a father. It's great being a husband. And I remember this one conversation that I was having with my middle child, Caleb. He's not here, is he? Okay, I'll talk about him then. All right. I have three children, Braden, Caleb, and Hannah. I remember talking with Caleb, disciplining. One time he was, he was fighting with either Braden or Hannah. Maybe it was Hannah, and he acted like he was going to hit Hannah, okay? And I remember I was talking with him and telling him, Caleb, you do not hit Hannah especially, but you do not hit people. And I remember his response, okay? Caleb said to me, Dad, you need to stop hitting. I said, well, that's actually a good point. Well, hey, I'm talking to you. You need to stop hitting. Oh, okay. Yes, it's a blessing to be a father. It's also a huge challenge, so I need your prayer. But happy Father's Day. My encouragement this morning, yes, it's for all of us here, but it's especially for you husbands and you fathers that are in our midst today. And I want to invite you to open up your Bible or look at the screen. I want to read this passage from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 27. And you can just follow along silently. I'll read it to you. Please follow along. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 27. Verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, His body, of which He is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And so we see this passage. You look at verse 21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And yes, God is teaching us here, right? How we're to function as a church, as a body of Christ. We are to submit to one another. We are to humble ourselves. But yet He further explains now, in the following verses, He makes a distinction. A distinction in submission, a distinction in roles, and how God designed the family. And that is why we see in verse 22, wives, submit yourself to your own husband as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, His body. And we see in verse 25 also that husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And so I want us to park on verse 23 this morning. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, His body, of which He is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. So when you look at the word head, husband is the head of the wife, what does it mean? And as you see in your outline, you see in your bulletin, when the word head, it means leader. Okay? Husband, or the head, equals leader. If you go to the next slide. I think it's on there. I didn't put it on there. Alright. It's in your bulletin. Head equals leader. And there's four reasons why. If you look at your bulletin. In Paul's day, the physical head is considered the leader of the body. Okay? Head. The word head is used in the Old Testament in this very same way, speaking about leadership. Thirdly, Ephesians 1. 21 through 23 says that Christ is head over all things. Talking about leadership. He's the leader of all things. And so in light of this passage, we see headship makes submission appropriate. Right? There's no leadership without someone that follows. Right? There has to be. In order for there to be leadership, there has to be someone that follows. And so what is the distinction about your, I'm talking to you men, you husbands, fathers, what is the distinction about your God-intended role as husband? And I want to share with you some positive, practical implications of being called the head that make the husband's role so much different from the wives. And yes, again, you look at verse 21, that whole passage is devoted to it's talking about the church and how we're to submit to one another. But then the verses following, they make these distinctions between the loving headship of Jesus Christ and the willing submission of a church-like wife. And what we see in this text today, we see some positive practical implications of being called head that give man his distinct role in marriage. And so it's not enough. It's not enough for us to just say, when we're thinking about marriage and husbands and wives, it's not enough for us to say, oh, we're just called to serve one another. That is true. We are called to serve one another. That is true of all Christians. That's true of the whole church. We're called to serve one another. But the thing we need to keep in mind is that we're not all called to serve in the same way. God created us with specific roles and responsibilities. Not all the same. If you think about it, Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ. Nobody else is Jesus. And we are the church. And what would happen if we confuse that identity and that role of Christ and the church? What if we confuse that doctrinally and spiritually? That would be devastating, wouldn't it? So also, husband is the husband and the wife is the wife. And if we confuse these roles and responsibilities, if we don't embrace these identities, then we're setting ourselves up for much hurt and brokenness. And so what I want to do this Father's Day is share some of what it means for a man to be the head of his household. Have you ever noticed this or thought about this, that there's something very deep in every man that comes into his own when he assumes the role of a loving servant leader? And young people, brothers, don't discount this. All right, listen. I know you're not married yet, but you may be later, very soon. Well, not very soon. Okay, wait for a long time, okay? And sisters, wait for a very, very long time, okay? But deep down, men know that part of our personhood is compromised if a wife has to take all the leadership in the family. Likewise, there's something very, very deep in every woman that rejoices and flourishes when she can freely and creatively support and complement the leadership of her husband. Because dear brothers and sisters, God has a plan for marriage. And it's deep and fulfilling. It's not oppressive and fearful. It's freeing because it's God's design. And so my challenge to you men, you husbands here, husbands, lead your family. In what way? I want to propose four ways in order for us to lead our families. And the first one is to lead your family in your personal relationship with God. This pursuit of us each individually pursuing our own personal relationship with God. No man, none of us will ever be a spiritual leader in our home if we are not going deep with God in our own private life. One-on-one with God. We may try to lead, but we will not be spiritual leaders if we will not have a personal relationship with God. You look at the Bible, you look at the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 said, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord." Every Christian man who hopes to be a biblical husband and father must go hard after God in solitude, one-on-one, in our prayers, in our times, in God's Word. We must devote ourselves daily to the Word and prayer. And we must fight this fight of faith in our own soul before we can hope to lead our families in this spiritual war. Leadership is something you are, as much as it is something that you do. We can learn all the leadership techniques and strategies in this world, but they are all in vain if we have not been with God. We can only give what we have, can't we? It's what we become in solitude with God that makes us spiritual leaders. And if we fail here, we fail completely. A well-known pastor says this, "Loving Jesus is not a matter of doing excellent things. It's a matter of delighting in an excellent Savior." Loving Jesus is not a matter of just doing all of these good things or excellent things. It's a matter of delighting in an excellent Savior. Acknowledging that we have a Savior that is awesome, is amazing, is worthy to be praised, is worthy to devote and give our lives to. Will you lead in your personal relationship with God, brothers? You see, this point is unique because it's also a shared responsibility. It's not like the other three that I'm going to be sharing, because every wife also has a duty. Every woman has a duty to go hard after God also in their own personal relationship with Him. There is no borrowed or substitute spirituality. Daughters of God have to have a direct personal relationship with Him. A husband's spiritual life could never be a substitute for the wives. And the foundation and goal of their lives for wives should never be their husbands. It should always be God. God should always be our foundation. You know, as a youth pastor, especially this time of year, summertime, I'm gone a lot from home. We have planned a lot of different trips and things, and oftentimes Debbie and the kids aren't able to come with me. And I think about what it would be like. What if something were to happen to me? What if I were to leave this earth early? And I consider, you know, I think about this. What would happen? How would Debbie go on? You know, because I'm everything. No, I'm just kidding. Now, what would happen to her? What would happen with my kids? And you know what? It's a deep joy for me to know that if I were to die, that the foundation and goal of my wife will remain unshaken, because her foundation is not me. Her foundation is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what a joy that is to know that my children would have the same spiritual rock to stand upon. And His name is Jesus. Brothers, it's a shared responsibility. Yet there's also a difference between a husband and a wife. There's a difference between a husband and a wife's pursuit of personal spiritual strength. For the husband, it is the foundation of his headship and the heart of his leadership. For the wife, it's the foundation of her submission and support for her husband's headship. Now, when we're talking about this, I also want to mention that there may be some of us here, married, wives, families, there may be some of us here whose husband is not a follower of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you. I thank God for you. I want to encourage you because you are the spiritual leader of your family, of your household. And I want to encourage you to never cease praying. Never cease loving, encouraging your husband. Initiating dialogue about your family, about God, about the goals and vision that you have for your family. And trust and know that God is at work. God is at work. And God can soften your husband's heart and bring him to a saving faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we must understand this, that neither husband or wife will be able to fulfill the role God has appointed without pursuing power with God in solitude. But the roles that come out of this are not the same. And it makes sense, right? When you think about spiritual growth and maturing, yes, as Christians, all of us are being molded into the likeness of Christ. Yet we must also remember God's design, and that God is growing us and maturing us. We're becoming like Christ. Yet there are distinct effects and differences in the lives and the roles of husbands and wives. God is refining us to live out those respective roles. Remember, all of us, part of a body, each of us has a different part. It makes sense that God would have a design for marriage as well. And let me emphasize this. Yes, even though there's differences in roles and responsibilities, the value of husbands and wives, the value of men and women is the same. God values us all equally, yet He defines our roles differently. So brothers, do not abandon your responsibility. Do not abandon following hard after Jesus Christ. If you desire to be that head of your family, then you must pursue God with everything. And it starts in your personal one-on-one time with Him. And you know what? We talk about leadership a lot. And yes, this passage encourages and says that husbands, we are to be the head. But husbands, men, it doesn't mean you have to be perfect. It doesn't mean you're not going to fail or mess up or make mistakes. It doesn't mean you have to be the intellectual leader of the family. Wives, you all know that's true, right? There is no connection between being intellectual and being spiritual. But what it does mean, this encouragement does mean that men, we must not lag behind in our personal love for Jesus Christ or zeal for God's will. And let me say something here. There's a train of thought that's popular, even in churches, that says, well, I'll let the women teach the children about loving God. You know, I don't got time for that. I got to work. Someone's got to put food on the table. I'll serve my family by working. Or some people will say, well, that's not my style to talk about God. You know, that I lead just by example. I lead by how I serve. And I want to say, whoa, 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 let's hold up. Who are we talking about here? We're talking about our Creator. We're talking about the Giver of Life. We're talking about our Savior. We're talking about our Lord. We're talking about the reason that we live. And yet, why do we neglect to talk about Him to our family, to our children, with our wives? Why is our day consumed with just work and school and asking our children, did you do your homework? Rather than asking them, oh, how was your time studying the Bible today? Oh, let me read this. Instead of just saying, let me work with you on your math problem. Come on. Son, let me show you this passage that I was reading this morning. Let me show you how great God is. Brothers, let's not neglect our personal relationship with God. Let's lead in our relationship with God. For some of us here, our earthly storehouses are full of things. And yet our hearts are empty. Our souls are starving. And we're leading our families in this same way. And so I urge you, brothers, to humble yourselves. And I'm talking to myself as well. Turn back to God. Choose Jesus Christ. Choose to follow Him with everything, that we may be the godly men that He created us to be. And that we would go hard after God in the solitude of our rooms. And I know for sure that if God is our desire, if we put Him first in the solitude of our rooms, I know you will experience a new depth of joy in your relationship with Him. We must lead in our relationship with God. Secondly, we must also lead in shaping our family's moral and spiritual vision. Okay? We must lead in shaping our family's moral and spiritual vision. You can't lead anyone anywhere until you've thought about where you are going and where you want to go. An aimless husband does not make a happy wife. And I've experienced this. How many of you have wives that encourage you? Encourage you all the time. You know, one of the most convicting times of encouragement in my marriage, my family, in my life, is when Debbie, you know, had to come to me, and at various times, you know, just expressed her desire for direction and to just wondering what are we about as a family? What is it that's important to us? Where are we going? Or even asking me, I've shared this before, asking me, Steve, what is it that God has put on your heart in regards to our family, in regards to our future? And see, for me, that's very convicting, because why am I not the one sharing with her what God has put on my heart? Why am I neglecting these responsibilities? And it doesn't mean the women should never talk or never say anything. No, we should talk, we should share, what God's put on our hearts. But men, we need to step up. We need to initiate once in a while. I urge you, brothers, humble yourselves, turn back to God. You know, I experienced this and I read it, passages like Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. Does this read, fathers, make sure that you don't give your children everything they want so they don't get angry at you, and make sure that they get a good degree from a good college and get a good job, and so that they can save up enough money to retire when they're 60 and not have to worry about finances. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. When's the last time you talked to your children outside of telling them to go to church? When's the last time you talked to them about God and His Word? When's the last time you prayed with them outside of a meal to just thank God for the food, which is great? But when's the last time you prayed with your kids, with your wife? You know, I believe the vast majority of wives love it when their husbands lead out of thinking about family's priorities and goals. You know, a good leader always takes the insight and needs and desires of his wife and children into view. And I want us to know, brothers, I'm not talking about dictatorship. I'm talking about servant leadership. Remember, loving and leading like Jesus Christ. What did He do for the church that He loved? He died. He gave His life for the church, for you and for me. See, the headship of a husband is compromised if he takes no initiative in setting goals and is constantly prodded and nagged by his wife to make some decisions. You know, we joke around about this a lot, like I just did, right? Encouraging wife, okay? We joke around about this, like the husband is laid back and the wife is more forceful. But deep down, the respect and admiration for a competent servant leader will be missing from her heart if this is the trend, if this is the pattern. And those jokes will only barely cover up the sense of failure that we experience as men when we do not lead as a godly head of our family. We must lead in shaping our family's moral and spiritual vision. And thirdly, we must lead in gathering the family for prayer, studying God's Word, and worship. Okay? This third point of encouragement goes along with point number two. Gathering our family for prayer, scripture, and worship. When I tell you this, when a husband fails here, and the wife has to constantly remind us to call the kids together to pray or to study God's Word, our families and our marriages are in jeopardy. You know, you've heard the statistic, especially I've said it as a youth pastor. Why is it that, you know, the reality is our teenagers after high school, a lot of them, a majority of them are leaving the church. Not just because they're going out of state for college, but leaving their faith. Why is it? I think this is partly because we as men, we as fathers are not leading. Some of you may say, whoa, Pastor Steve, this is not my style. My kids turned out fine. Some of you who have grown up kids already, you may say, my kids turned out fine, and we never studied the Bible together outside of church. Well, I tell you this, thank God for His grace. And not saying you're bad fathers if you didn't do that, but I'm saying think of the fruit that could have come out of those times together in prayer, in Bible study, in worship together as a family. Think of the fruit that could come out of that. We look at our young people, we look at the challenges that they struggle with. They need Jesus, right? We all know that. What are we doing to point them to Jesus? What are we doing in our lives? What does our lifestyle point to? When they look at us, is it pointing to Jesus? Or is it pointing to money, success, work? And please don't get the wrong message. I'm not saying we don't have to work. I'm not saying we don't have to be disciplined. I'm not saying we don't have to prepare for all the other responsibilities that we have financially and academically and career-wise. But our priority must be Jesus. Our priority as husbands, as fathers, must be Jesus and leading our families to know Him and to love Him and to serve Him. I hear too many excuses, and I've made them myself, of why as families we don't gather together to pray or worship or study God's Word together. I'm too busy. I'm too tired. I have this practice. We have this test to prepare for. I have to study. That's not our style. That's not the way we do things. And I look at God's Word. I look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your hearts. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as signs on your hand, and shall be as frontals on your head. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Is the Word of God important? Yes, it's essential. Is it essential in your family? Is it essential in your home? Is God essential in your life? Children don't automatically grow up knowing how to love and serve the Lord. It's our responsibility to point them the right way, to lead them, to guide them. You cannot, and I tell you this, you cannot be growing spiritually as an individual or a couple without consistent prayer and time in God's Word. There is no other way around it. Coming to church twice a week, three times a week is not enough. And if we are not growing, what are we doing? We're dying. If we're not growing, we're dying. And men, it's our responsibility. I point you to Adam and Eve. When they sinned in the garden, God came to call them to account. It didn't matter that Eve had eaten the fruit first. What did God say? He said, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? And that's God's word for us this morning. Adam, husband, father, where are you? And He's going to seek an account from us first, not our wives. And if our family has neglected Him, His Word, if we put TV, school, tutoring, music lessons, sports, money, all before our living God, then we have what's coming for us. But here's how to get started again. Here's how to get on the right track. Brothers, dear church, let's humble ourselves. Let's turn back to God. Let's acknowledge our weakness and our failure and receive God's forgiveness. And now walk in newness of life. Let's walk in obedience to Him and His Word. And I know this is so threatening to a lot of us. It's threatening to me to hear my wife saying, Steve, we need to have devotion time with our kids. And Steve, we haven't had devotion time with our kids in weeks. Should we start? Let's start. We need to start doing it again. Yes, it's threatening to me. Oh, man, I should be initiating this. Why is it that Debbie has to come and tell me that this is important? I'm a pastor. I know this is threatening. And some of us, we're going to have to swallow our pride. We're going to have to be courageous. Because fear is a scrawny enemy. Do not let it conquer you. Because our God is greater. And I promise you that once you've gotten over that first hump, a new world will open up to you. You will see a change. You're going to see a change in yourself. You're going to see a change in your children, your wife, your relationships. When you choose to put God first and spend time with Him and lead your family to do the same. Time with Jesus, it builds our faith. It leads us to boldness and obedience, and it produces spiritual results. Men, we must take the lead in gathering our families together. Maybe you've never done this before, but it's never too late. Grandfathers, you can do the same. And lastly, men, we can lead in reconciliation. This requires humility. This requires us to lay down our pride. How many of us wait for someone to acknowledge that they were wrong or that they need to apologize to me? But how many of us are willing to exemplify Jesus Christ and be willing to say, I am sorry, to be the first one to acknowledge the wrongs that you have committed? How many of us are willing to follow the example of Jesus Christ? And God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if while we were still God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. You see, we had a broken relationship with God because of our sin. Yet Jesus came and He died and He made a way for us, for our relationship to be made right again. And how many of us, brothers, are willing to stand up and be men of reconciliation and to lead in that way? To not play games, to not give the icy cold shoulder, okay, but to be willing to reach out our arms in love. And to acknowledge our own failures and our own mistakes. And to show grace to our family, to our wives, to our children. And to even acknowledge, yes, the times that we have made a mistake. And so, brothers, that is my encouragement to you this morning. In light of this passage, seeing how God has designed marriage, husband, the role of husbands and wives to be different, equally valuable, yet different. I ask you, how will you lead your family? Will you lead out of the pursuit of your own personal relationship with God? Will you lead in shaping the moral and spiritual goals of your family? Will you lead in taking initiative to gather your family to pray and to study Scripture and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And will you lead in the special responsibility of modeling reconciliation? And I know that as we follow hard after God, that our families will be blessed. Our church will be blessed. And so, I want to invite you to pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father God, we praise you for who you are. God, you are our perfect Heavenly Father. There is no fault in you. And God, we thank you for designing us and creating us so intentionally, so lovingly, so graciously. Thank you for your Word, God, that teaches us how you created us and how we are to live this life. And God, I pray that you would stir in our hearts, that you would lead us. God, that you would lead us to repentance. God, that you would fix our eyes upon you. God, that you would give us the strength, give us the humility to lay down our lives, God, and to follow you with everything. And God, I pray that you would also give us the strength and the humility to receive your forgiveness. For God, we know, I know especially, I have sinned. I have fallen short. I make mistakes. And God, I thank you for your amazing grace and mercy. Thank you for forgiving me through your one and only Son. And for giving me hope that I am not defined by my failures, but I am defined by you. I'm defined by Jesus Christ who died for me and gave me new life. And promises that part of your will for me, God, is to make me more and more like Jesus every day. And so, God, I take courage in that. And so, God, I pray for our fathers. I pray for our husbands here this morning. I pray that you would help us, give us the strength and the humility to lead the charge, to lead our families the way that you have called and created us to lead, as loving servant leaders, just as Christ leads us as the church. And so, God, I pray that you would raise up men all over our church to lead and to continue to lead. And we thank you, God, and we pray this in Jesus' name. I want to invite you all to stand up. And you know what I want to do this morning? I just want, if you made some kind of decision this morning, if you want to put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to come and so that I can pray with you. Come talk to me, share with me your decision. But I also want to open up the steps here for you fathers, for you men, if you want to come and just pray, pray for your family, pray for your wife, pray for your children, to kneel here before the Father and pray for your family, I want to invite you to do so as the worship team leads us as we sing.